And we're going to go to a familiar passage, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. This is our mid-year review on our theme that we have had all year, and that is standing. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Paul gives the encouragement to the church at Ephesus and lets them know that they need to stand. And so we're going to have a review here today on that, and probably over the next several Sundays, just to get familiarized with that again, to get regrounded on that again. It's not going to be anything that you have not already heard, but it is going to be a reiteration of that which we are endeavoring to do. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6, and start reading with me, if you will, in verse number 10. And we're going to read down to verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10 through 13. Amen. Everybody that is there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Start reading with me in verse number 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, notice what he says down here. I'm going to read these verses. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And notice this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As we continue this year, we've got about 5 months left before the end of the year. And our theme all year has been stand and withstand in the Lord, ready for battle. Be able to stand, be able to withstand. Having done all to stand, stand. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And the battle that we are in cannot be fought in our own strength nor in our own might. We need the armor of God. And although the armor of God cannot be seen when it's on you, the effects of it can be seen when you act it out. And that's one of the things that we want to encourage you on today, is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of God. Of his might. Father, bless now the next moments that we have as we look at the review of what we've studied this year. What we've looked at different aspects of this. And I just pray that as we look at this review this morning, that you might give me the boldness, the power, the unction from the Holy Spirit, that I may speak and preach, thus saith the Lord. And Lord, that it might be practical to us today. We might understand it today. We might be able to live it today. And Lord, know that we're in a battle. It's not going to diminish. The battle is only going to increase. And help us to win our portion of the battle that we are in right now. None of us walk in the other's shoes. We walk in the shoes that you have designed for us. And help us with the race that is before us and the battle that we're in, to use the equipment that you've given us, spiritually speaking, to do the will of God. And I pray, Lord, when it's all said and done, there's one today without Jesus Christ. If they are not sure that heaven is their home, they would make sure that heaven is their home by receiving the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and being born again. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Minister to us and through us, and we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated.
Saving power.
my knees and I cry to him there. O merciful Savior, hear a lost sinner's prayer. And every hour of every day, and every moment, in every way, I'm leaning on Jesus. He's the rock of my soul. I'm singing his praises wherever I go. I'll never forget that night on my knees, that joy of that hour has never left me. It's life's sweetest memories that time can't erase. I'm saved by his mercy, redeemed by his grace, and every hour of every day, and every moment, in every way, I'm leaning on Jesus. He's the rock of my soul. I'm singing his praises wherever I go, and every hour of every day, and every moment, in every way, I'm leaning on Jesus. He's a rock of my soul. I'm singing his praises wherever I go.
Amen. Jesse and Tony and Dr. Bruno, I appreciate that blessing. Amen. Tell you, we need to stand for the Lord and the power of his might. And there's nothing like hearing the word of God once again to challenge us in what we need to do. Amen. By the way, if your Bible did not open up to that passage way it should have, amen. We've been in that area all year long, and I tell you, it's really been a blessing and an encouragement to my heart. I got a couple thoughts I want to give you today. We will go back over some of the messages that we taught in the beginning of January, but today just want to kind of dive into what we should be doing and what we need to watch out for when you look at this subject, stand and withstand in the Lord, ready for battle. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word stand there in verse 11 means to abide, to continue to hold up, establish, be fixed, or steadfast. Now, I've asked G2 and Joshua to help me out this morning a little bit. Come here, G2. And Joshua, you come as well. Now, I asked Joshua to go easy because he can be a little tough and rough. Amen. Now, if the Bible says be strong in the Lord and the power of the night, and it says to stand, then that means that Gregory has got to be fixed. He's got to be established. He's got to be steadfast. And so he's got to pretty much virtually be unmovable. Okay? And so the Bible says that in verse number 10. Put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So Gregory's job then is to abide, continue, hold up, establish, or be fixed or steadfast. But then you drop down to verse 13. It says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. The word withstand then means to oppose, resist, or set against. So in other words, Gregory needs to be able to stand against Satan's onslaughts. Now, we're not saying that Joshua, my lovable, is Satan. Amen. But he is going to be a picture of the forces against the Christian. And so your job is to push him oh so gently. I know how hard you can push. Okay. Gregory's job then is to stand. Okay. And so come on this side, Joshua. And he is to push him again on that side. And although you're pushing this way on this shoulder. Okay. And Gregory's job is to stand. You come on that side. Gregory's job is to stand, and so he's doing that, amen? And then go ahead and push him from the back. He is to stand. All right, so Gregory now is standing. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, we had this picture up here to give you a visual, a mental visual of what Gregory is to have on spiritually. Okay, now, he's standing, but guess what? Are you going to stand your entire life in one position? No, he's not going to stand. So his job then is not to just stand here, but spiritually speaking, he is to stand for the things of God. The Bible tells us to walk. It says, walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So as Gregory is walking in life, the forces are going to be constantly pushing him that way and pushing him behind and pushing him to do all sorts of things as he's walking down the road of life. Okay. But his job is to stand. Now, by the way, if he is going to stand, there is a path that God has for him to go. It's called the will of God. The forces of evil, the forces of Satan, are designed to push him off of that path. His job then is to stand and then withstand. Not only are they going to try to push him off, they're going to try to pull him off. Try and pull him. They're going to try to pull him. Come with us. It's my son, if sinners entice thee, what? Consent thou not. So no, I'm going to stand. I'm not going to go over there. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do what?
Evil.
So I'm not going to go with you. So you can try to pull all you want. I'm going to withstand. Amen. And so that is his goal and that is his job. Now, we understand this. Sometimes as Christians, we're going to be, I'm going to test y'all age on this one. How many of y'all remember the Weebles? Weebles wobble, but they what? They roll around, they get knocked off. You can knock them and pick them and all this. They weeble. We know as Christians, we're going to weeble, we're going to wobble. We're going to do a whole lot of stuff. We might even fall down, but if you lay a weeble down, what happens to that weeble? That weeble pops right back up, amen? And so like the Christian, I'm going to stand, I'm going to withstand, but I'm aware that I'm still flesh and blood, and sometimes I may weeble, I may wobble, I may actually even fall down. Go down. But guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to stay down. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. So get on back up. I'm going to pop back up. I mean, guess what? When I get up, guess what the forces are going to do again? Try to pop me right back down. Have you ever watched a child that tries to knock a weeble down? I mean, they pop that thing and pick at that thing. And they get boing, boing, and popping back up, boing, boing. And it goes back and it amuses a child. Can I give you this? There is no amusement with the devil when you pop back up. His goal is to see you knocked down for good. His goal is to see you not get back up. Because as long as you're down, you can't help anybody. But oh, when you get back up, praise God. When you put up your old spiritual dukes by having the shield of faith, when you've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, when you've got your helmet of salvation on, when you've got your loins girded about with truth. Did that tickle?
Yes.
Amen. When you've got on the breastplate of rights, and when you got all those things, you got your feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace. Guess what? When I, as a Christian, am clothed in my spiritual armor, nobody can see it.
Right.
But guess what? You can see the lack of it. You can see the lack of it. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Down there in verse number 14, he says, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth. So that means that Gregory's got to have a truthful life. That means he's got to do the truth. And so the forces of the devil are going to try him to lie. Mm-hmm. Try to get him to lie and tell the untruth. Have your loins girded about with truth. But then it says this, I can't see this part either. And it says down there, and the breastplate of righteousness. What does that mean? That means living a right life. Now, I can't see my righteousness, amen, but people can see me living a right life. Guess what? I can't do it on my own. That's why it says, be strong in where? The Lord, and in the power of his might, put on the whole, complete, entire armor of who? Of God, that you may be able to what? Stand against what? The wiles of the devil, or what life is going to throw you. Why? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. If we were, we could punch him in the nose. Hey, I used to box with the best of them, and got whooped. Guess what? That's not going to help. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. You can't see the evil one when they attack you, but you can see the effects of when they knock you down. when you are knocked off your steadfastness, when you're not standing, when you become that weeble, that you wobble, and sometimes folks stay down.
Yep.
No. He says, having your loins girded about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm always ready to give someone the gospel. Hey, son, you might try to knock me down, but you need to be born again. Hey, son, you might try and mess me up, but you need to be saved. Hey, you might try and mock me and ridicule me, but guess what? God still loves you. Hey, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And notice what else he says. And by the way, you can't see this armor. It says, above all, have the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Come with us in sin, my son. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I got my shield up. Or I'll throw a wicked accusation of you. Your breath stinks. I used Scope this morning. I used Listerine. You can't do that. Having the shield of faith. Oh, well, that church that you're going to, hey, you're not really saved. Hey, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm holding up this shield of faith. I'm quenching the fiery darts of the wicked one. Has God given you those promises? Yes, contained in the word of God. So I've got my shield up and you cannot see my shield. But you can see the effects of my belief with my shield. The shield of faith. Then he says down there this. All the fiery darts of the wicked shall be quenched. So I can put them all out. Hey, you let the devil start coming to you with some foolishness and you say, it is written. He got no leg to stand on. And you say, the Bible says. He doesn't want that. Especially when you live it. He doesn't want that. So he'll try and twist it to make it say something it doesn't say. Yea, hath God said? Hey, what's it going on to say? And take the helmet of salvation. I've got to know that I'm born again. I've got to know that I'm saved. I've got to know that I'm a child of God. And I've got to live it as well. I've got to show others that I'm saved. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not going to act like everybody else. I'm not going to walk like everybody else. I'm not going to talk like everybody else. I'm going to be different in my whole manner of life. Why? I've got my helmet of salvation on. I know that I'm saved. And others know it as well. And others can see it. Amen. And so he says, in the helmet of salvation. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hey, devil, you want to fight? I'm not going to fight you on my terms over here in the flesh. You want to fight, devil? I'm going to put on my armor. Come on over here. You want to box? All right, push me if you want to. I'm going to stand. Put me if you want to. I'm going to withstand. Amen. I'm not going for it. Hey, I've got my righteousness in Christ. I've got my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I got all my armor on. You can make me weeble. You can make me wobble. But I ain't falling down. And if I do fall down, guess what? I'm getting back up. Righteous man falls 7 times. Rises again. All right. Now, by the way, even in the will of God, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So the illustration is basically like this. This is the Lord. And the Lord is telling me what to touch. The Lord is telling me what to say. The Lord is telling me what to look at. The Lord is telling me what to hear. The Lord is telling me where to walk. The Lord is telling me where not to walk. But the world is steady pulling against me, pull. But guess what? The Lord's got me. The Lord's got me. So I can stand. But you know when I'm going to fall? When I get out of the Lord's care. And by the way, when Satan seduces you and I away from the Lord's care, that's when he's got you. As long as you're in the Lord's care and you're being strong in the Lord and the power of his might, the devil is not stronger than God. He can do no wrong as long as I got him. He can say no wrong as long as I tell him to say it. He can hear no wrong as long as I got his ears. He can see no wrong. He can sniff no wrong. He can walk into no wrong areas as long as he lets me guide him. But the minute he says, I got this. I got this. I got this. Guess who's got him as well? The minute you step out of the Lord's protective care, you walk into the hands of satanic hands. You and I never could fight this battle on our own. And so Paul goes through great lengths to say, hey, Ephesus church, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you can stand. Why? We're wrestling not against flesh and blood. This is not something that you can see. If you can see the enemy, you've got the wrong enemy. Oh, how church members got the wrong enemy. How people in places of employment have the wrong enemy. How people in families have the wrong enemy. How friends have the wrong enemies. How we go out and we've got the wrong enemy. We're mad at such and such and so and so, and we can see them, and they're not our enemy. And Satan said, I got them occupied. They're mad at each other. Sibling rivalry. Put them up, buddy. Let's box. Hey, you don't have any armor on with that. You don't have any armor on that. And guess what? You can punch each other until you're blue in the face.
Yeah.
And Satan says, yeah, these are my boys. Got them doing what I want to do. Hey, but guess what? Let me run back into the armor. Oh, would you forgive me for what I did? I'm so sorry. I didn't act like a Christian ought to act. I didn't say what a Christian ought to say. I didn't take you where a Christian should take you. I didn't listen to what a Christian should listen to. I didn't smell what a Christian should smell. Will you forgive me? See, back in the Lord, I can do that. I can do that. And can't you hear the Son of God saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All we like sheep have gone astray. Turn everyone to his own way. And so the visual, yes, is of a physical armor that Paul is listing. But in reality, no one can see the armor that you have on. They can just see the effects of it in your dealings with them. And I'm not going to stand here in one place the rest of my life. God has told me to walk in the Spirit, and I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The world can pull against me. It can do all these things, but I'm not going for it. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Amen. Now, I had to get with Joshua before, because Joshua, he puts all his might into it. He's going to pull a G2 all across the auditorium if I let him. Amen. And so with that said, we're going to get into some things here just to remind us to stand. Because you're here, it shows me that you haven't fallen, at least physically, because you're here. It shows that you have not fallen. So you have heeded to that which we said earlier on in the year. But guess what? There's still several months left. And the devil would love nothing more than to take you down. And you've got to be like that weeble. You may wobble, but you ought not fall down. You've got to stand, as the Bible says, abide, continue, hold up, establish, be fixed. You've got to withstand, to oppose, to resist, to be set against. The beginning of the year, we talked about different areas we're going to talk about. And we talked about how we need to stand for the Christian home. And society comes from a home of some sort. Oh, would to God they came from a Christian home where values were taught, where God is honored, where the Bible is respected and revered, where daddies are in and doing their job and mommies are doing their job and children are being obedient. Oh, would to God that the homes in this society were righteous again and were whole again and were standing again. But I have to understand, we live in a broken society. And we have dysfunctional families. But God doesn't leave them without help. Hallelujah. God gives us his grace. Gives us his word. He gives us spirit. Said, look, your family may be broken. It may be splintered. It may be fragmented. But guess what? I still love you. And I want to use you. And don't let your circumstances dictate how you live. Let my spirit and my word dictate how you live. So you may have come from a bad background. You may have some things that's not going right in your home. But don't blame the home. Don't blame society. Fall on the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, you know what? My home is not good. We talked about standing for the Christian home. We talked about standing for the church. God's body. The church is the place where the marching orders are given. And God has told the church to evangelize the world. And to go ye therefore and teach all nations. And that's the church's job. But oftentimes the church is sick. The church is anemic. The church is wounded. The church is going through struggles. The church is infighting. The church is outfighting. The church is doing so many things that it cannot do what it ought to do. So we've got to stand for the local church.
Yes, sir, we do.
It's hurting right now nationwide and across the world. The church is hurting.
Wow.
And so we've got to stand for the local church. Then we talked about standing for the Bible, God's word, God's book to us. And folks, if we can get the homes back where they need to be, get the church back where it needs to be, put the Bible back in where it needs to be, guess what? We've got hope. We've got hope. So for the next few minutes, let me challenge you in some quick thoughts about standing at this mid-year point. standing at this mid-year point. Number one, we must not become a victim in our stand. We must not become a victim. You know, wars are won and wars are lost because people are victimized. Because the opposing side can go in and capitalize. We must not become a victim in our stand. Just because we have not fallen and are still standing, beware. Satan and his demons are relentless and rarely take a break in their attempt to make us fall from our steadfastness. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says it this way. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he what? Hear me? Fall. We must not become a victim in our stand. Satan is looking at you and he despises your stand. He doesn't like your stand. He doesn't want you to stand. He wants you to fall. But praise God, God has equipped us to stand. Amen. God wouldn't say be strong in the Lord, and he wouldn't say stand if we didn't have the power. Satan and his demons are relentless. The moment you think you're standing is the greatest opportunity for you to fall. Say, preacher, why is that the greatest opportunity? Because it's not you that's standing.
That's right, Pastor.
You're standing in the grace of God. Mm-hmm. The grace of God is holding you up. The love of God is shoring you up. You're not standing at all. It's God's grace. It's God's mercy. It's God who's keeping you up. You can say what you want to say. Well, I'm my own man. I'm a self-made man. No, you're a sinner-made man.
Yeah.
It's God that's holding you up. So the minute you say, well, I'm glad I'm not falling like so-and-so, take heed. I'm glad I didn't fall for such-and-such like so-and-so did, take heed. Well, I'm glad my children didn't go and do such-and-such like that, take heed. Well, I'm glad my wife didn't do what, take heed. Well, I'm glad my husband did, take heed. I'm glad we as a family are, take heed. The moment you think it can't happen to you is the moment it's going to happen to you. Why? You're unprepared. You're unprepared. You're in your self-righteousness. And your righteousness is only in Christ. And so the Bible says, take heed lest you fall. And so for us that are here this morning, I would say the first thing that we need to remember, we must not become a victim in our stand. It's not you, but the grace of God's armor holding you up, allowing you to stand. When we fall, we have been seduced away from our armor. Why? Because the power, the strength, the might, and everything is in the armor. The moment you get away from the armor, and by the way, Satan can't take your armor away from you. Amen and hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You actually forfeit your armor by walking away from it. It's just like going into battle in the military. And someone says, well, I'm what's that boy's name with the head tied up? Rambo. I'm Rambo. I don't need this and I don't need that. I'll go out here and fight this battle. You lay down all your armor. You lay down your Kevlar, which is your helmet. You lay down your military boots. You lay down your flak jacket. You lay down all your stuff. You lay down your ammunition. You lay down your guns. I'm Rambo. I'll fight tooth to tooth. Somebody will shoot you with a bullet and drop you like you never know it. But you Rambo. No, you Deadbo now. Hey, it makes no sense to drop the armor of God and say, hey, look, I can go and do this my own. God gave it to us for a reason, to protect us. And so when you and I lay down our armor, it's because we've been seduced. I used to watch those movies all the time, these tough guys, and they're out there doing this. We're going to fight it man to man. They take off their guns, and they go out there, and they're going to slug it out. I'm not interested in slugging nothing out with anybody. I don't like pain. And if you hit me, I might run. Amen. I don't like pain. I'm not interested in slugging it out with somebody. Amen. Now, you might want that. I'll get a bat and bat you. Amen. I'm not interested in slugging out fist to fist. My fists weren't made for punching you. But a bat is made for hitting stuff. And it's used to hitting round things, too. So if you mess with me, I might bat you. Amen. What am I saying here? We've got to take heed. Peter states it this way in 2 Peter 1:10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Notice this, for if ye do these things, ye shall never, and he says, fall. There's no way for you and I to fall being equipped in God's armor. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There's no way. It is spiritually secure to make you and help you and I stand. We fall and we get away from it. Ye shall never fall. Jude states it this way. Now unto him, Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. So if my Bible says this is going to keep you from falling, and Peter says you're never going to fall, guess what? I'm just crazy enough to believe that we don't have to fall. Amen. But when we do fall, you know what happens? Satan seduced us with something. And by the way, he knows your weak spot. He knows your weak spot. He knows my weak spot. He knows all of our weak spots. And he will exploit you to no end. Why? He knows your weak spot. Since the day you were born, there was a demon assigned to your life. Did you know that? That's why Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness. And they know your down sittings. They know your up. The only thing that the demons can't do is read your mind. Aren't you glad of that? I'm so glad that God is the one that can read my mind. Some folks say, well, I can read your mind. I know what you're thinking. No, you have no clue what I'm thinking. And if you did, you probably wouldn't like it anyway. But I'm so glad that the devils can't read our minds. So when you're thinking about giving up, when you're thinking about sinning, when you're thinking about quitting, when you're thinking about saying that word, when you're thinking about doing that thing, the devils don't know what you're thinking. They can only see your actions and what you do. And that's why they stand to seduce you. And when they see you come closer, guess what they do? They seduce you a little harder. And when they see you come, they'll seduce you a little higher. And they'll put, if you ignore it, they'll say, huh, that didn't work. Let me get something else. And they put that and they see you look. Oh, that got his eye. Let me get something more like that. Boy, that got him to slow down. Let's get a little bit more of that. Let's pump it up some. Now they're stopping. Don't you know that's what window shopping is all about? Yeah. They put that stuff in the windows. They hope you. If you can stop long enough, somebody will come out and say, hey, why don't you come on in? Oh, no, I'm just window shopping. Oh, we know, but it's better if you shop inside. And then they get you inside. Oh, we got this sale. Ooh. I got Steph Curry's own sale, 50% off. Got this TV on sale, half price. Got this car, no financing. They didn't tell you it was $50,000, though. If you can just, if they can just get you. Hey, they know what makes you tick. And so you've got to walk away from the will of God. You've got to walk away from being in the Lord and in the power of his might and step outside for the Satan to seduce you. But the Bible says we can be kept from falling. It says you can never fall. So I'm just crazy enough to believe that I believe God and follow his plan. I don't have to fall. Paul states it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear. What am I saying? We must not become a victim in our stand. You've got to know what you believe and stand in what you believe and don't get pulled away by that which you know is not right. Amen. What am I saying here? Hey, stand and withstand a walk in the power of the Lord and the power of the Lord's might. Second of all, we must continue in our vigilant stand. We must not become a victim in our stand, but we must continue in our vigilant stand. First Peter says it this way, be sober, be vigilant, be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Whether the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. Be sober, be vigilant, 1 Peter 5:8. By the way, Satan and his demons will use quitting with reason. They'll say this, it's not worth it. Everybody else is quitting. Why do you need to go to church anyway? Why don't you stay at home like everybody else? Catch it on social media. Catch it on YouTube. You know, you can see Joel Osteen. You know, you can see this one. You can see that one. You can see this one. Why do you? It's not worth it. Everybody else is quitting. But my Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Amen. Continue. Not quit, not give up, not recede, not back up, not slow up. Continue. Amen. Now think about it this way. What if when you went to work, your boss says, you know what? We're going to back up on paying you. We're not going to pay you as much as we used to. We're going to pay you half of what you used to get. Matter of fact, we're going to drop your salary altogether. Yeah. But that's how some people treat the things of God.
Well, preacher, you know, I don't want to be vigilant in my stand because it's tough, and quitting is reasonable. Quitting is never reasonable. How about if Jesus quit on going to the cross? Quitting is never reasonable when it comes to the things of God. The enemy will use quitting with reason. They'll use compromising with reason. Everybody else is doing it. And you ask the question, who is everybody? Well, everybody. Well, I'm not. Pastor White's not. Mrs. Dawson's not. Mrs. White's not. Sister so-and-so is not. Last time I checked, Nehemiah said this in Nehemiah 6:3. I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work of God cease? I'm not coming down. Hey, what am I saying? Hey, we've got to become vigilant. Stay vigilant. Otherwise, we will become a victim. Yep. Hey, it's easy to look around and see who's not. Why don't you keep your eyes on who is? You say, preacher, one another? No, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus is consistent, and he's constant, and he'll never let you down. See, that's our problem. We start looking at people. Well, so-and-so fell out of church. So-and-so's not doing this. And so-and-so, did so-and-so die on the cross for you? Did so-and-so give their life for you? Now, I hate to see when folks go just as much as you, but I'm not going to stop coming to church because they do. Hey, I'm not going to stop reading my Bible because so-and-so stopped reading their Bible. I'm not going to stop soul winning because so-and-so stopped soul winning. I'm not going to stop this because Dr. So-and-so doesn't believe it anymore. Amen. I do what I do for the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of Dr. So-and-so. Not because of Professor so-and-so. I'm not talking about you, Steve, amen, but amen. I'm not doing what I do because of some college professor or some doctor or some pastor or some preacher or some brother or some sister. I'm doing it for my Lord who died and saved me. I'm doing it for him. And so I'm going to maintain in my vigilance. I'm not going to become a victim, Lord willing, if I can help it at all. They'll use quitting with reason. They'll use compromising with reason. The enemy will use guilt with reason. You fell, so you might as well stay down and stop making a fool of your Christian walk and give it up. Why try it anyway? By the way, the devil got that victory over me the first several years of my Christian life, trying to read through my Bible in a year. My wife and I said, we want to read through our Bibles in a year. Hey, man, you know, you get past the Genesis and you start getting into Chronicles and all those names and those numbers, and you start having this that look. These people and these names, you're thinking, is it really worth it? I don't even know half these people. I don't even know what's going on. And you stop reading. And then a year go by, you say, man, why did I stop? And you pick it up again. The devil said, I don't pick it back up. Why try reading it in a year anyway? You've got 30 more years of living going on. Really? And you pick it up again and you fall off and you don't read it. The devil says, leave it alone. Why you got that strategic plan of reading through the Bible in a year anyway? It says the same thing anyway. And then he gets you. It's not worth reading my Bible. I'll just pick it up and do the flipping fine. Oh, Lord, lead me today. Judas hung himself. How's it going to help me? That's not going to help me. Then you're flipping again. And you find something else that's foolish. You say, well, Lord, are you just trying to tell me to do something? Am I supposed to do something foolish? No. Read systematically. But the devil will say, you fell off. You fell off soul winning. You fell off reading your Bible. You fell off being kind. The last person stabbed you in the back. The last person wouldn't forgive you. The last person left you. The last person spoke unkindly to you. So I'll just give it all up. Is that what Jesus did? Just gave it all up? No, last time I checked, Jesus went all the way. But they'll use compromise. Hey, they'll say guilt. You fell, so give it up. Hebrews 12:1 says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us, notice this, run with patience the race that is set before us. By the way, in case you didn't know, this is not a sprint. It is a marathon. This is not a race that you just get in and it's over. This is a life that you and I live. It's called the Christian life. Folks say, well, you know, I'm just going to get in it for a little bit. No, you don't get in for a little bit. You get in for the long haul. By the way, you got in it because you wanted to go to heaven. Am I right? Amen. You wanted to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. You wanted to avoid that place called hell. Amen. And so you got saved, and it's called a life. And Jesus said, now I want you to go bring somebody else to the same life that you have. So you can't quit. You can't give up. They'll use slowing for Christ. They'll say, you're working too hard for Jesus. Is there such a thing as working too hard for Jesus? Now, don't get me wrong. Some folks need to rest a little bit. Amen. Jesus told the disciples, come ye apart and rest a while. Yep. So we need to rest. But there is a big difference between rest and rigor mortis. Big difference. Some folks think rest is rigor mortis. No, rigor mortis means you're dead. You're dead. Rest is one thing. Rigor mortis is a total other thing. Amen. They're totally different. They'll use not going for Christ. They'll use not giving for Christ. All in the name of Christ. Let someone else go. Let someone else give. Last time I checked, Isaiah 6:8 says, here am I, send me. What am I saying here? You and I have got to be vigilant in our stand. We got to say, look, I'm going to serve God no matter what happens. I'm not going to become a victim. I'm going to stick with the stuff that God has given me from the beginning. I'm going to stand in the Lord. I'm going to stand in His power. I'm going to stand in His might. I'm going to put on the whole armor of God. And I'm going to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? He wants to sift you and I like wheat. He does. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says it this way, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted through the simplicity that's in Christ. The word beguiled means to seduce wholly or completely, to deceive. The word subtlety means trickery or cunning, craftiness. Satan uses no new tricks because the old ones still work. He'll still come to you with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Why? They work. Joshua, Satan will still come to you and try to get you to do something wrong in the right way. Do you know that? Satan's not going to come to Brother Duffy and tell Brother Duffy to do wrong because he knows Brother Duffy will say, ha, really, it is written. But he'll get Brother Duffy and say, Brother Duffy, they were mean to you. You should not turn the other cheek, because if you do, they'll hit that one too. And you're no glutton for punishment, are you? No. In Green Bay, we fight about such things. Yeah. Can't talk about our cheese like that, or our team, Green Bay Packers. They can't call us no good.
That's right.
And so once he gets you in the dialogue, he'll say, now do this. Tell them their breath stinks. Yeah. And then they hit you back with something. Well, tell them their feet don't match. By the way, did you know none of your feet match? You got a right one and a left one. You don't have two right and two lefts. So that's a true statement. But people will fight over that. They said my feet don't match. Duh. I hope they don't. And folks will get mad. You can't tell me my feet stink. They do. Sniff them yourself. You don't want to smell your own feet. My children tickle me. My wife say, rub my feet. The other day they say, well, your feet smell good. They never said that about my feet. Yeah. And my wife, her smell good. I'm like, well, what do mine smell like then? No, don't answer that. Amen. We get mad about stuff like that. Satan wants to try to lure you in. He wants to suck you in. He wants to lull you to sleep to convince you that his way is a good way. That's what he did to Eve. Yea, have God said? And he got her. He beguiled her with his subtlety. And so when you look at it, you and I need to be vigilant in our stand. Satan uses no new tricks because the old one works, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Somehow, some way, Satan and his demons want to deceive you like he did the serpent through Eve, Eve through the serpent. He wants to deceive you to think that his way is a good way, thereby winning your trust, causing you to fall. If he cannot deceive you into thinking that his way is a better way, he'll just come as the lion, the roaring lion, and just gobble you up. But guess what? If you're clothed in your armor, he can't gobble you up. Satan, do you know that Satan can't eat up God's armor? Remember the Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments when the magicians tried that foolishness? What happened? God's serpent ate up the other serpents. Satan can't eat up anything of God's. We have to give it up. We have to give it up. Some he'll just seek to out destroy you like he tried Job. Lord, let me test him. Let me put him to the test. Aren't you glad that God doesn't allow you to go through what Job went through? Mm-hmm. I mean, if God, just think about that. If you had to go through what Job went through, I'm so glad I'm not Job. You say, but preacher, don't you want God to think highly of you? Yes, but I don't want to have to go through Job's life to get it. I like to just claim the promise in Ephesians, you know, and Psalms. I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Amen. And marvelous how that works. That my soul knoweth right well. Amen. I like to just go with those, the New Testament promises that I'm precious in His sight. Amen. I like to just stay with that. Don't put me through all these fires. But guess what? We're tried through the fires. Our numbers in churches around the world today are as such thin because the demons are organized, strategic, and hitting their target. Say, preacher, what is their target? You and me. What does it take for the enemy to win the battle? Take as many troops out as I can. And the more troops that I can take out, the more I can advance. And if I can take the Christians out, the more I can advance in my demonic realm. If I take them out of the White House, if I take them out of the Senate, if I take them out of the House of Representatives, if I take the Christians out of Congress and start taking them out of the state capitals and start taking them out of the local councils and start taking them out of the schools and take them out of the PTA meetings and start taking them out of the communities, if I can just start picking them off one by one, it goes family by family, church by church, and I get Christians out of the battle of God, and guess what? The enemy can start advancing. But my friend, God never told us to retreat. He never told us to quit. He never told us to back down. He said, be vigilant, be sober. Why? Your adversary, the devil. By the way, your adversary, my adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says it this way, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. We must not become sitting ducks, but neither are we to turn and run away from the battle. You know, going to the amusement parks, I dare not play that basketball game. How many of y'all ever won anything on that basketball game? My wife seems to win every time. I go out there and I got my best Jordan on, stick my tongue out. Make sure that's going to go in first. Let me try that ball, make sure that ball ain't too big for that hole. And it goes. And I do my thing. I just stand back. Whew. Don't even come close to going in. My wife get out there, bing, goes down. I got the skills. I got the Jordan stuff. I got the tongue. I got everything. And she just go out there, just all happy. Bing. No, it's not supposed to work like that. I'm serious. Tongue. Look, bald. And I'm thinking, how does she do that? You know how she can do that? She's not resting in her skills and her abilities like I am. Yeah, I'm just let her fly. Amen. Phew. I try that and I still miss. I get out there. Can I get three? Let me get, man, somebody was stepping on my toe. Give me another ball. Give me that thing again. Put that ball back. Let me. Does that go through that again? Okay. Let me try it my wife's way. That still doesn't work. Amen. What happened? I'm resting in my own abilities. Folks, we cannot win this battle with our own abilities. It's got to be in the abilities of the Lord. We must not become sitting ducks, neither are we to turn and run them from battle. Flee sin, yes, but never flee the battle. The goal of the enemy, Satan and his demons, is to hit the target, and the target is us. Our goal is to charge into Satan's domain, which is the world, and snatch the people that are destined for hell out, like someone did you. How can we do it? The armor of God. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 1 as we close. Ephesians chapter number 1. What are we saying? We must not become a victim in our stand. But at the same time, we must be continuance in our vigilance. Chapter number 1. Notice what Paul tells them in verse number 7. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Folks, we've got to not become victims in our stand. We've got to make sure that we're vigilant in our stand. But we've got to make sure the victory in our stand is already won through Christ. The victory is already won. Amen. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. He's bought us back through his blood. We'd have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Say, well, preacher, that should be easy. But wait a minute. You've got to repent first. You've got to recognize that you need it first. You've got to see that you're lost first. You've got to see that you were not born righteous, but Jesus Christ has righteousness. I've got to understand that. In whom we have redemption. I can be bought back through his blood. Come down to verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. I can have victory in Christ through the redemption, through the inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Notice verse number 13, in whom ye also trusted. I've got to trust him. After that ye heard the word of truth. What is the truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The gospel of your salvation. The gospel is the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So I can be victorious through being born again. Let me ask you this question today. The only way you can not become a victim and be vigilant in your stand is by having the victory that you did not win. The victory that Christ won for you. And you must be born again. You cannot stand without Jesus Christ. You cannot stand no more than I can in my skills trying to hit that basket. You've got to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Have you been born again today? Do you have God's Holy Spirit? Notice what he says, verse 13 again. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The moment you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and save you, when you recognize that you were not going to heaven and you called on him to save you, he sealed you with a Holy Spirit promise. And you weren't perfect. You weren't righteous. You were a sinner, just like me. But God in his mercy saw your repentance in your heart, in your mind, and he heard you say, I want to be saved. It's not because you got baptized. It's not because you were good. It's not because you gave money. Not because you were a prize catch. It's because God loved you. And God set his love upon you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Preacher, where's that perishing at? In a place called hell that was never prepared for you and I, but for the devil and his angels, the ones that's trying to thwart the plan of God. The one that's trying to take us away from the things of God. The one that's trying to make us deviate. But friend, the victory is in Jesus Christ. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Why? There's an enemy out there that is counting on you to be a victim, counting on you not to be vigilant, counting on you not to claim the victory that's in Christ. And folks, we've got to stand. Several months left. We've got August, September, October, November, December, 5 months. We can't say, I'm not going to fall. Take heed. Take heed. Satan wants to take you down by pride, but don't let him take you. Say, I'm going to stand in the Lord and of his might. Do you have the victory today? I hope you do. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we're looking around. Just for a moment, just looking back over this year, the struggles that you face, the battles that you have come upon, I know you've been like the Weebles, maybe. You've wobbled around, but you've stayed the course. I know you seem to be victimized in your stand, but you stayed the course. You've been vigilant. You stayed the course. You've got the victory. You stayed the course. But there's still 5 months left. Still 5 months left. Paul's encouragement is to stand in the Lord and upon his might. Father, bless now the next moments of invitation.
thank you that the power is in you. The victory is in you. Lord, we can stand because of you. Lord, help us not to become victims. Help us to not decrease our vigilance, but to increase our vigilance. And help us to recognize this victory is all in Christ. Thank you for loving us today. Bless now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, you know I'm in this battle. I am resolved to stand. And I know it's not going to be easy. But would you pray for me that I could stand the rest of this year? I know it's not going to be easy. But pray for me that I can stand. You raise your hand. Pray for me that I can stand. I know it's going to be tough, but I'm going to stand. Hands going up all over. Amen. Praise God. You may put them down. Maybe you're going through a battle right now. Maybe you've fallen. But, oh, God wants you to be like the Weebles. You may wobble, but you don't fall now. And maybe today you say, preacher, pray for me. I've fallen. I need to get back up. I need to do what I know is right. I need to get back in the battle. Pray for me today, preacher. I'm not where I used to be, but I need to get back in the battle. Amen. I see one hand. Another, you raise that hand. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I need to be. Pray for me. Amen. I see several hands. Amen. You may put them down. You know, Satan would love to see you stay out. And he would love to see you stay down. But praise God for the victory that's in Jesus Christ. He wants you to get back up and get back where you used to be. And lastly, how many would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'm saved and going to heaven. I'm concerned about it. I think I'm saved, but I'm not positive. And if I died right now, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. And I want it to be my home, but I'm not absolutely positive. Would you pray for me? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you as well. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Preacher, I'm not sure. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? I'm not sure. I'm concerned about it. I won't come and call you out. I'll just acknowledge that your hand went up and you can put it right back down. Anyone at all? Preacher, I'm not sure. Amen. Father, you see the hands that have been raised, some saying they have fallen from where they used to be. They want to get back to where they know they ought to be. God strengthen them. Others are saying that I don't want to fall. I want to be vigilant. I want to make sure that I continue not being a victim. God, help them to stand as well. And maybe there's one that's unsure that heaven is their home. And I pray that you would save that man, that woman, that boy or girl, whoever they may be, that's unsure this morning. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet just for a moment of invitation. As the piano plays, maybe God's laid a special burden on your heart this morning. Maybe it's a burden in a loved one's life. Maybe it's in your life. As the music is playing, would you come? We're standing by. Someone can pray with you if you desire. Maybe you need to be born again today. Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven is your home. Victory is won. We have redemption through the forgiveness of sin. The Bible is clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bible is clear, the wages of those same sins is death. Well, the Bible is also clear, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Maybe you need to come today. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm born again, but I need to be baptized. We can take care of that as well. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm born again, I'm baptized, but I need a good church to join. Come talk to us. I can have a deacon take you to the side and show you what you need to do. Join this church and what's required of you. Maybe you just come and pray. Pastor, I've got some things going on at my job that's really, really causing me to stumble a little bit. I've not fallen, but it's causing me to stumble. Got some things in my school that's causing me to stumble. Got some things with my family that's causing me to stumble. I've not fallen yet, but I'm kind of like the Weeble. I'm wobbling a little bit, and I don't want to fall. I want to stand. I don't want to become a victim. I want to be vigilant. Maybe it's something with a neighbor, something in the community. Maybe it's with a husband or a wife or the son or a daughter. Maybe another church member. Maybe it's a struggle. You say, I don't want to be victimized. I don't want to fall. I want to be vigilant. The Bible says, stand in the Lord, the power of his might.
Put on the whole armor of God. He's making you stand against the wiles of the devil. He's relentless. He doesn't give up. He doesn't let up. How about it? What's your need today? Be strong. Be strong. Strong in the Lord. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you that we can be challenged to not become victims. Thank you that we can be challenged to continue in our vigilance. And thank you, Lord, that the victory is already won in Christ. We just need to claim it and walk in it, own it, and know it's ours. And Lord, thank you for the guests that we have today and for the friends from afar. Pray that you would minister to our hearts. Lord, grant the request of these that came and kneeled at the altar. Lord, give them the desired request that they petitioned you for. Lord, I pray for those that are standing strong, that they would continue standing. And those that may have wobbled a bit, need to get back to where they used to be, that you would help them to get back to their steadfastness. Lord, for those that may need to receive Christ, that you would help them to recognize their need today. They can be born again. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Dismiss us with thy blessings. Bring back tonight the West Coast Baptist group and our fellowship. Pray to be sweet. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.